James's last year. On August 15, 1880, while at the Magog camp meeting in Quebec, James wrote an item for the review. The past 15 years of our life have been marked with labor, care, and periods of illness and despondency. But God has been gracious. When we have fallen under affliction, His hand has lifted us up. When we have erred in our efforts to advance the cause of truth, the Lord has corrected in love and has reached down His arm to point the way and to sustain. God is good. Christ is worthy of all praise. We are unworthy of the care, love, and mercy of the Lord during the past 15 years, which enables us to say, to the praise of God, August 15, 1880, we are free from pain and feebleness, and have been able to do as much work during the last as at any year of our life. James did not know it, but he was entering the last year of his life. He was almost 59, Ellen was 52. It was a time of mellowing for James, but not always at an even pace. He sensed that he must lay off the burdens of leadership. His sometimes erratic movements and statements, and the light given to Ellen in vision, as well as her own judgment, indicated clearly that the time had come. And he really tried. Through the rest of August and September, James and Ellen went from camp meeting, spending 3 to 5 days at each, but always including Sabbath and Sunday, Waterville, Maine, West Boylston, Massachusetts, Morrisville, Vermont, Hernellsville, New York, Clyde, Ohio, Rochester, Indiana, attended by E.G. White only, and the national camp meeting at Battle Creek, Michigan, October 2nd and 9th. Although James was theoretically in agreement with the idea that he should step aside and let others carry the burden of leadership in the church, it was not easy for him to stand back and have no say in what should be done and how. He was distressed when he saw moves made in administrative lines that he felt could result in failure or would injure the cause. As the time neared for the General Conference session with its election of officers and committees, the White household experienced some tense moments. James was trying to divest himself of responsibilities. Before the session opened, Ellen reported to the children in California, "Father has already sent in his resignation of every office except in connection with the publishing work. I think there will be no disagreeable issue." The national camp meeting opened on September 28. The first meeting of the General Conference session was held on Wednesday afternoon, October 6. As president of the General Conference, James White was in the chair. 20 delegates were present, and by vote of the conference their number was increased to 38 by drawing in from those present several from conferences who had limited delegations. The appropriate committees were appointed. Monday morning, October 11, the nominating committee reported with the following recommendations. For President, George I. Butler. For Secretary, Uriah Smith. For Treasurer, Mrs. M. J. Chapman. For Conference Committee, G. I. Butler, S. N. Haskell, and H. W. Kellogg. James White, serving as chairman of the meeting, called for the vote. The nominees were unanimously elected, the Review and Herald, October 14, 1880. Now James and Ellen turned their thoughts to the future. On Wednesday, October 14, she wrote, "We are now deciding to spend this winter and next summer in preparing books. First, I get articles prepared for signs. 2. I get out articles for private testimony, health institutions. 3. Get out testimony number 30. 4. Letters to her children by a mother. 5. Spirit of Prophecy Volume 4. 6. Life of Christ, both books, the most sharp and interesting matter in one large book for canvassers to use for public sale." They instituted an immediate search for a place to make their home for the year before them. A 3-acre, 1-hectare, property in Grand Ledge was available, but it did not suit. The house was run down. They finally settled on a three-story well-built brick home on a 30-acre, 12-hectare, tract of land between the city of Battle Creek and Gagak Lake, a mile, 2 kilometers, from the city. It stood on a prominence overlooking Battle Creek, and on it was a young orchard of 225 trees, apples, pears, peaches, and cherries, JW to WCW, November 3, 1880, and an attractive 10-acre, 4-hectare, oak grove. The 10-year-old house, explained Ellen, had all the advantages of a country residence, and it could be secured for $6,000. They moved in on Sunday, December 19. Observing that it would soon be Christmas, Ellen noted in a letter to a friend, "My Christmas will be spent in seeking Jesus to be a welcome guest in my heart. His presence will drive all the shadows away." James buried himself in writing and in doing chores on the little farm and about the new home. He was still editor of the Review and Herald, and this kept the way open for him to speak to the church each week in reports and editorials. But why, he pondered and fretted, didn't the members of the General Conference consult with him, and why didn't Willie, in Oakland? Moving more in a pastoral role, James White frequently spoke in the tabernacle. Occasionally he baptized new converts and performed marriages. Among the latter was the marriage of the man to become widely known for his cornflakes, W. K. Kellogg, marrying Ella Davis. She was a sister to Marion, who assisted Ellen White in her literary work. But plans for the winter's work were rudely broken on New Year's Day. Going by sleigh to a Vesper meeting in the tabernacle, Ellen fell, tearing loose the ligaments in one ankle. For more than 4 months she was on crutches and was quite miserable, her pen largely laid aside. She did fill a speaking appointment at the tabernacle on Sabbath morning, January 15. 2 months later she resumed her public ministry, with services in the tabernacle and outlying churches, Ibid, April 5, 1881, Ibid, April 12, 1881. James found satisfaction in visiting and mingling with the members. These loved and respected him, and were less concerned about his sometimes erratic movements than were the leaders in Battle Creek. With the aid of her nieces, Addie and May Walling, Ellen kept house in the big brick home and did a little writing. On a few occasions, as her ankle recovered from the accident, she accompanied her husband on his visits to nearby churches and to one or two weekend tent meetings. Ibid, June 7, 1881. When the camp meeting season opened, James gave out word through the Review, May 24, 1881, that Mrs. White is not in a condition of health to go the rounds of camp meetings as in years past. But in spite of her physical weakness and injured ankle, she attempted to attend the Michigan camp meeting, which began June 1 at Spring Arbor. Arriving on the ground, she felt pressed for breath and too ill to go on, so stopped with an Adventist family near the campground. Early Sabbath morning, James went to the grounds alone. Of her experience that day, she wrote Willie and Mary in Oakland. "I knelt with Brother Weed's family and felt that God indicted prayer. I importuned the Lord for help, for light, for strength to bear my testimony to the people of God. Light came. I went upon the ground and spoke to a large congregation with great power and clearness. I endured the effort. Sunday I spoke in the afternoon upon temperance and was so much encouraged that I left appointment for evening and spoke in the evening." James reported that at that evening meeting his wife addressed the people, with clearness, point, and power, probably equal to any effort of her life, the Review and Herald, June 7, 1881. Tuesday morning the deep impression came to her distinctly, "Go to Iowa, I have work for you to do." The Iowa camp meeting would open on Thursday. "I should as soon have thought of going to Europe," she commented, "but I told your father my convictions, that I should go with him or alone. He seemed surprised and said, 'We will go.'" The camp meeting was to be held at Des Moines, opening Thursday, June 9. James and Ellen arrived about noon on Friday. A heavy rainstorm came up, calling for extra effort on her part to make the people hear. Following the meeting, she went to her tent and retired early for the night. But in 1 hour, a message came for me to repair to the tent and speak to some points introduced in their business meetings, upon the right of voting in favor of prohibition. I dressed and spoke to them about 20 minutes, and then returned to the tent.